This is Reverend Bookburn, expecting to go on time, but first, let's play you a treat ahead of time before the show begins. Instead of this delightful Radio Volta tape loop, play you from sound bites of the counterculture. This is the late Dr. Hunter S. Thompson.
I didn't get into this guy until after Roxanne Pulitzer, because we were both doing the same thing during the earlier years. This is the man who carries the illness forward for all of us. Thank God, into the fray and into the fire. Always wearing the right coat while traveling outside the realms of possibilities.
I do not remember the first time I read Hunter Thompson. It was sort of like a demented spiritual experience. It's no white light, just shit, that's it. Hunter Thompson.
An apple a day keeps the doctor away, right? I am the doctor. I took one look out here and saw fear. I don't know, how would you feel being the last dope fiend? There's an old civil rights axiom that the weakest link in any civil rights case is always the defendant. Yeah, imagine being a lawyer and getting a call from me. That's why I try to behave myself. And I advise the same to you, all of you. Well, that's good advice. This is, after all, a really aggressively Calvinist period. Let me offer my condolences to all of you in this generation that will have to grow up, live all your lives with the idea that that sex is death, and that the rain is poison. And now they have the sun, will give you cancer. And now the Surgeon General is going to tell us that people get down to things like mead and near beer. Yeah, it isn't the law that bothers you so much. It's being chased around and scorned by your ex-peers. And Jesus, I would have to run scurry like a rat from place to place. I can't afford to feel guilty. I don't really think I am. But for some reason, I have lived for 26 years without a job and 25 without sleep. I've never claimed to be anything but a nice guy and an athlete. And it's true. I'm a judicious user of drugs. Now, keep in mind that I'm a doctor. And plus, I am one of the highest living authorities on that subject. Well, who else? They're all dead. Shit. Well, if anybody had any DMT right now, I think I would share it with you. Somebody described it to me once as like acid, except that it's so compressed, it's like being shot out of a cannon for 45 minutes. Yeah. Bush has, all of his life and all of his career, made a pretty successful career of sort of minding the store. He has been a congressman, ambassador to China, ambassador to the UN, CAIE, vice president, and now president. That's a pretty good record. Only Richard Nixon surpasses it. Well, yeah, we're talking about two of the most criminal, outside of Warren Harding and Ulysses Grant. Yeah, and Charles Manson. We're talking about serious criminals. This is a good, what do you call it, an enduring criminal conspiracy or continuing criminal conspiracy. It would, when the great scorer comes to write against these names, George Bush, Nixon, Warren Harding, Grant, will all be up there. And yet they both, in this century, Bush and Nixon have held almost every office that would be coveted by ambitious politicians or all-American boys. Nixon was everything except the governor of California. Oh, boy. That's a point of pride for everybody. Yeah, Nixon was on paper, one of the most successful politicians in the history of the country. Now, Ronald Reagan,
he only ran for, well, yeah, two offices. Reagan really had blitzed it. He was like, I don't know, Roy Rogers. Yeah, we'll see Reagan about 40 years from now with weird plastic all over him. And here's a, yeah, here's a an actor out of Hollywood who's elected with the help of three or four used car dealers and with a, is a two-term governor of California, campaigning against debt, against the insane, against mental health, against almost everything, but mainly on a, an economic program of austerity and balancing the budget. The bastard left this state, I think, what was it, six times the debt. Then he runs for president. After that, two terms here, he runs for president. And then he then that bastard appoints his successor. Now, nobody's ever done that. Yeah, his underling, his boy, his capon. People are not beaten up anymore. I think it's I think Bush is right. This is a kinder, gentler nation. Nation of sheep. It's all been said before.
Yeah. All right, cool. The Hunter Thompson thing ended. Are we on?
All right. Roosevelt proved you could be president forever.
Kill the spoken word release. Love to my friends, dear summer. Good evening. This is Reverend Bookburn. The show is called The Reverend Is In. If you tuned in early, you heard Dr. Hunter S. Thompson doing the opening track of a compilation spoken word release entitled Soundbites from the Counterculture. Tonight, we have a very special show with the theme Memorial Day, since it is a sacred holiday. So we will be celebrating memories. We have memory facts and some things to read, as well as something from the breast cancer information site of real information, not stuff from religious nut jobs and anti-abortion whacks. So we're going to celebrate memories and even provide some information. Celebrate the very last show during May, otherwise known as National Masturbation Month, and talk about the masturbatathons. And since some people are confused and are confusing this holiday weekend with a holiday around soldiers, we'll have to play a couple of songs for them too to clear up their confusion. So in that light, since somebody in the military recently set off an international firestorm of reactions by desecrating and flushing the Quran, we thought, well, why stop there? I mean, if you think flushing and trashing a book is going to eliminate the problems with the nutcases who believe the book, then why stop at the Quran? Why not expand to the Bible and other books that churn out mad attack dogs and similar war criminals, racists, and psychopaths? So, in that spirit, for the Quran flusher, for the torturers in the prisons of Iraq and Afghanistan, and for the Christian supremacists everywhere, here is Corporate Avenger doing a lovely track entitled The Bible Is Bullshit.
In the history of the human race, of all the inspirations for the separation of man from his true tribe and culture, of all the inspirations for acts of violence from one man onto another, from one nation onto another, from one oppressor onto the oppressed, there is no more guilty party and inspiration than those books known as the Holy Bible, the Quran, and the Bhagavad Gita to spread separation of mankind. The Bible is bullshit. The Bible is bullshit. The Bible is bullshit. The Quran is a lie. The Bhagavad Gita did not fall from the sky. These are the books that
While digesting Reader's Digest in the back of the dirty bookstore, a plastic flag with gum on the back fell out on the floor. Well, I picked it up and I ran outside, slapped it on my window shield. And if I could see old Betsy Ross, I'd tell her how good I feel. But your flag decal won't get you into heaven anymore. They're already overcrowded from your dirty little war. Now Jesus don't like killing, no matter what the reason's for. And your flag decal won't get you into heaven anymore. Well, I went to the bank this morning, and the cashier said to me, if you join the Christmas club, we'll give you 10 of them flags for free. Well, I didn't mess around a bit, I took him up on what he said, and I stuck them stickers all over my car and one on my wife's forehead. But your flag decal won't get you into heaven anymore. They're already overcrowded from your dirty little war. Now Jesus don't like killing, no matter what the reason's for. And your flag decal won't get you into heaven anymore. Well, I got my window shields filled with flags I couldn't see, so I ran the car upside a curb right into a tree. By the time they got a doctor down, I was already dead. And I'll never understand why the man standing in the pearly gate said, but your flag decal won't get you into heaven anymore. We're already overcrowded from your dirty little war. Now Jesus don't like killing, no matter what the reason's for. And your flag decal won't get you into heaven anymore.
only when I'm sleeping, but wide awake is best. Wake up and make love with me. Wake up and make love. Wake up and make love with me. I don't wanna make you, I'll let the fancy take you. And you wake up and make love. I come awake in a horny morning mood, and have a proper wriggle in the naughty naked nude. Roll against my body, ooh, get me where you want me. What happens next is private, it's also very
to American Top 40.
heard a couple of tracks from the great Capitalist Casualties from a great compilation CD of pretty much everything they ever did. The tracks were Bio Plague, My Dad Kills for the USA, and Drinkin' Alone. Before Capitalist Casualties, you heard Sinead O'Connor doing Wake Up and Make Love With Me from a tribute to Ian Drury release entitled Brand New Boots and Panties. Before Sinead O'Connor, you heard Nick Oliveri doing Jealous Again, and Exene Cervenka with Henry Rollins doing Wasted, both of those from the Rise Above Benefit compilation of all Black Flag songs to benefit the West Memphis 3. Before that, you heard John Prine doing Your Flag Decal Won't Get You Into Heaven Anymore, and started off with Corporate Avenger. Corporate Avenger doing The Bible Is Bullshit. This is Reverend Bookburn. The show is called The Reverend Is In. It's on live every Sunday night at RadioVolta.org, where the show is supposedly repeat broadcasted Sunday nights. Also, East Coast time at 7 o'clock to 9 o'clock p.m. and repeat broadcasted Wednesday mornings, 6 a.m. to 8 East Coast time, USA. The Reverend Is In is also relay broadcasted live at atheistnetwork.com, where the show is always repeat broadcasted Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, 7 a.m. to 9 p.m. and 9 p.m., also East Coast time, USA. And relay broadcasted, repeat broadcasted oh so appropriately on Sunday mornings when the show is back to back with the great Hour of Slack. The Reverend Is In is also relay broadcasted live at two independent radio stations in the state of Washington, one in Olympia and one in Seattle. The Reverend is available for weddings of couples or groups of any orientation or lifestyle, including those from the transgendered or kink communities outside or across the street from Catholic fundamentalist or any other Taliban-modeled theocratic church. To write to the Reverend for theme ideas, song requests, announce your birthday, feedback for old shows, input to the forthcoming shows, or any reason except spam, unless it's funny spam like some of the weird-ass Jesus freaks. Write Reverend Bookburn care of Quail, as in Dan Numbnuts Quail, the biggest fucking idiot after Reagan and before W. Moron Bush. Quail, Q-U-A-Y-L-E. Quail at sjcdc.org. And at that website, sjcdc.org, you can see an article entitled Theocracy and Sexual Freedom. Next week on The Reverend Is In, on the 1 year anniversary of the death of one of the nastiest international terrorists, mass murderers, genocidists on six continents, massacrist of civilians worldwide, theocratic holy man, and general fucking retard, Ronald Caligula Reagan. Yes, it'll be 1 year to the day that he died, and even though we did the three-part anti-memorial series, that was so much fun, and did that theme shortly after the death of Ronald Caligula Reagan. Since there is going to be an inevitable saturation of corporate media bullshit pertaining to the anniversary of the death of this genocidist, torturer, mass murdering scumbag, it will be necessary to provide in underground media an alternative. And while we're doing that, have a little fun and, of course, the best of tunes in the process. Next week on The Reverend Is In, The Dead Reagan Show, and that will be a whole lot of fun. Future themes on The Reverend Is In include psychotherapy for the war criminals in the Bush regime, send Michael Jackson to the Vatican, another edition of rehab for pedophile priests, Halliburton gives Condi an oilgasm, Henry Hyde's retirement party, Reverend Book Byrne performs the wedding of Tom DeLay and Terry Schiavo's corpse. Recovery for Propagandists, in which we will discuss the 12-step monopoly and delusional higher power recovery systems, including the misuses of the word addiction, such as love addiction, sex addiction, porn addiction, internet addiction, television addiction, golf club addiction, and other bullshit propagandistic misuses of the word addiction. We'll cover that and have a lot of fun on the Recovery for Propagandists show. Another future theme includes pubic property, in which we will discuss Puritan posturing and sex negativism from all walks of life, liberal and conservative, left-wing and right-wing, religious fundamentalists and groupthink freethinkers, and certain kinds of women's studies classes. We will cover that extensively and have a lot of fun and great tunes and laughs on the Pubic Property Show. So far, everybody's input is incorporated into that show. Other future themes include 3 retroactive abortions for Barbara Bush, the live appearance of LaSara Firefox this October on her book tour for the release of her first book entitled Sexy Witch. Check her out at lasara.us. And one or more producers of the film HeartOfTheBeholder.com, which is completed and available. It went directly to DVD and VHS because the people in the film industry have even less spine than the Democrats. So, and you can check it out online at beholder.com, and we'll have one or more of those folks on the show when they're touring around with the film. And there's other themes, but I forgot what they are, and I don't have that paper in front of me. So, enough on that. We have one birthday. We're going to say again, happy birthday to Leela Walla, great book burner and friend of many years, and her great kids. And I haven't had a chance to review the Independent Media Report by Jennifer R., another book burner, but it's an extensive document that was written for her doctoral class, and this show is a part of that. And a copy was recently sent to the Reverend, and we will cover that on one of these forthcoming shows when the Reverend gets around to reading some of that. So thank you, Jennifer R., for acknowledging the show and independent media as a whole. And Mr. Scott, the Reverend's computer security person, said that in an effort to keep out spam and nasty shit, he blotted an email that he thinks was from a book burner, Bonnie Boz. So if that is true and you are writing as a book burner and not as anything else, write again. We were not trying to be ignorant, but it got blotted out, so there was no opportunity to respond. A big thank you to people worldwide, or people in the Middle East, rather, who protested Laura Bush's visits. That was, if nothing else, great entertainment for the Reverend to watch on Spanish TV and on the internet. Okay, and alright, is it on? Alright. And thank you, people who protested Laura Bush. And we'll cover the Quran desecration and how much fun it is to also desecrate the Bible, if time permits. And let's see, we have a copy of the Amnesty International report that condemns human rights abuses worldwide, no matter who does it or what their political system is. And even though they're getting a lot of heat and are said to be biased, that is total bullshit and only a reflection of the biased assholes who are condemning them, in which they condemned the U.S. atrocities in Afghanistan, Iraq, and other places. So you'll get a brief bit of that later. And let's see, George W. Numnuts Bush's latest judicial nominations and antics with stem cell research. But first, we have somebody from the local censorship league, a different kind of book burner. And let's see, you wanted to come on and talk about a recent commercial on television, is that right?
Yes, I wanted to talk about the latest Paris Hilton commercial in which she's on all fours the way a lot of people would like to see her. And she did a commercial in provocative poses. And that's just one more obscene thing on television. And in addition to the Paris Hilton ad, there's even nastier hip-hop videos on the BET network. And even more hot and juicy steam on the Spanish station Univision. And it's just dirty and disgusting, and it upsets me so much that I have to watch it even more so I can whine about it. And it's just so terrible, and it should be banned and censored, and the people should be punished and sent to hell.
Okay, I want to thank you for stopping by and expressing your opinion. We like to let everybody have their say on The Reverend Is In. And I hope you feel better. There's a box of tissues to your right there. Try not to wet the floor too much because we carry a lot of records and equipment and stuff. And thank you again for coming by and expressing your views. And speaking of the media, let us discuss yet another reason why CNN bites Rush Limbaugh's ass. Now, you notice that you don't get a lot of static for saying that like you do when you say something sucks, because then everybody says, well, we suck. So, let he or she who bites Rush Limbaugh's ass come forward and object to my terminology. Why CNN bites Rush Limbaugh's ass, the latest. This time, because of a story that they covered, much like the guest speaker of a minute ago, in which people from CNN are saying,
a sex offender was getting Viagra on Medicaid.
Now, of course, this was similar to what the asshole who was the dead asshole who was the subject of next week's show, the Dead Reagan Show, used to do when he wanted to do drastic cuts to food stamps. He would tell this great story like, there was a woman in Idaho who had food stamps, and so she had an orange in one hand and a bottle of vodka in the other. So she paid 38 cents for the orange and used the food stamps to pay the $1.38 for the bottle of vodka. And that's the kind of thing we're trying to stop. And of course, overlooking how clueless that asswipe was for the prices alone, nobody at any time ever in this nation was able to get liquor with food stamps. So clearly he continued to live his life in Disneyland and not in reality. But stories like that have only one purpose, and that is to justify the attacks on people with the lowest income, with people who depend on Medicaid and the final safety nets for their survival. And by covering the Medicaid and Viagra story, CNN proved once again how fucked up the corporate media is, and how desperately needed and necessary independent media is. One funny part of CNN's Medicaid and Viagra story was, and I quote,
the left hand doesn't know what the right hand is doing.
Now, of course, I'm sure other people caught the humor of us statement like that in a Viagra story. So thank you, CNN, for throwing in a little humor in your bullshit propaganda. Oh, and in a cover to Amnesty International report on the U.S.'s human rights abuses, as
they were actually saying that we do that.
So, CNN, if they really want to be honest in how they present themselves, should just say, "Welcome to the Fantasy Channel." A great cartoonist named Ward Sutton has completed his book of cartoons. He is the greatest cartoonist in the world, with the possible exception of Tom Tomorrow. And he is also touring and signing the book. His comics are in the Village Voice every week. And he's online at suttonimpactstudios.com. And then click on the link for a weekly cartoon that's in the Village Voice. And you can get like the last five or six. And they're worth printing out, cutting and pasting, emailing all over the place. And the latest one is also a hoot. SuttonImpactStudios.com. Okay. What else is going on? Let's see. Marlon the Great Engineer is here. Other independent media folks are here. And there's all kinds of food in here. That's why I'm pigging out. I'm eating this organic popcorn, but it has like all this shit like around it. So now I can't touch myself. Well, much of anything else, but it's delicious. Let's see, we talked about Heart of the Beholder from Beholder.com. The Enron movie is out in most of the country here in North America, and it's in this specific area, Philadelphia and South Jersey, and can be checked out online at enronmovie.com. And the Reverend will probably see that in the near future and provide a review, as well as the DVD release of The Corporation, thecorporation.com or org, produced by Zeitgeist Films. What else did we see? We watched Reefer Madness because it's just too funny. But then one of the coffee goddesses told the Reverend this morning that there is a new and modern version of Reefer Madness that she thinks is entitled Reefer Madness 2, that's on Showtime, as well as the making of Reefer Madness 2. Please write to the Reverend to tell me about this, if you know anything about it or if you've seen it, quail@sjcdc.org, and give me a review if you would, and I will try to catch a copy of that and give you information as well as how to get it. And let's see. Oh, that censorship person is back. Okay, come on in. What do you want to whine about?
I'm upset about those gay English rock stars called Pink Floyd. They even have the word pink in their name. And they did a record called Dark Side of the Moon. The word moon made it a dead giveaway. And then there was a rainbow, and it was going through a triangle, and it became the biggest selling record of the 70s. And then all these gay people started showing up in marches, and there's a direct correlation, and it was clearly the work of the devil, and it should be banned.
Okay. Alright. Thank you for that. Thank you for your insights, and we'll be sure to call Pink Floyd and tell them what they've done to the moral fabric of this nation. If you've heard us talk about the eminent domain laws and all of these kind of conglomerates of business elite assholes that fuck over residents, very small businesses, and did we mention residents in their local communities through business improvement districts and eminent domain laws. So kind of like many tyrants doing many versions of the World Trade Act and the Free Trade Act and all that kind of corporate global shit. There is another fight here in Pennsylvania in Ardmore, and they have a link at that eminent domain site, Save Ardmore, and you could check them out. It's the same kinds of people that fucked over the South Jersey towns of Pensauken, Collingswood, Haddon Township, and a whole lot of others, as well as Coatesville, Pennsylvania. To find materials, research, information, links, or to join the fight against this kind of shit, and to check out the situation in Ardmore, Pennsylvania, close to right here in Philadelphia, check out castlecoalition.org. Alright, and so I have articles to read, so I want to save time for that. And let's see, I have breast facts and breast cancer information. So, let us proceed with the next set of tunes, and then we'll play, and then we'll cover breast information and breast cancer information, since it is also the final weekend of National Masturbation Month. Even though we played a lot of those kinds of songs last week, let's play one more. This particular track is by Devo and is entitled Jerkin' Back and Forth. Lord, make this turntable work.
We plant the seed and then we grow, grow, grow the weed, and we pull the weed and we sell the green. We trade some off for kerosene. That's cold juice, boy. When you grow the weed, you gotta hide it away. Your drunk punks will steal it today. If it ain't them punks, it's the authorities pulling my weed and stepping on my peas. So we plant the seed early in the spring. We fertilize with anything, and we haul the water if the rain don't fall. We pray the Lord will make a call on us. It's against the law. We know, we know. In nature's law, we know, it is written, grow, grow, grow. In the hills of Kentucky, it's the poor man's high. In the streets of D.C., it's a rich fool's buy. Now I know it's good herb for you and I. You know I wrote this song while I was high on the weed. If you puff the weed, you're nothing but a slave. Oh my Lord, it's the weed I crave. At the snake charmer's school, at the charm school for snakes, a bunch of torpid vipers was laid around shit face.
Night, there was no moon in sight. You know the stars ain't shining cause the sky's too tight. I heard the scary wind, I seen some ugly trees. There was a werewolf walking along the side of me. I'm mean and I'm bad, you know I ain't no sissy. Got a big kitty girl in by the name of Chrissy. Talking about her in my bike to be in the side of the mountain. I noticed even the crickets were acting weird up here, and so I figured I might just drink a little beer. I said, give me some of that, what you're sucking on. But there was no reply, cause she was gone. Where's those titties I like so well? And my goddamn beer is what I started to yell. Then I heard this noise like a crunch of twig. And up jumped the devil, he's about this big. He had a red suit on and a widow's peak and a pointed tail and like a sulfury. Yes, it was him, all right. I swear I know it was. He had some human flesh up underneath his claws. You know, it looked to me like it was kitty skin. I said, you son of a bitch, because I was mad at him. Well, he just got out his floss and started cleaning his fangs. So I shot him with my shooter, said, bang, bang, bang. Then the sucker just laughed and said,
put it away. You know, I ate her all up. Now what you gonna say?
You ate my Chrissy?
Titties and all!
Well, what about the beer then, boy?
The can's this tall?
Even her boots?
Would I lie to you?
Shit, you must have been hungry.
Yes, this is true.
Don't they pay you good for the stuff that you do?
Well, you know, I can't complain when the checks come through.
Well, I want my Chrissy, and I want my beer, so you just barf it back up. Now, devil, do you hear?
Blow it out your ass, motorcycle man! I mean, I am the devil, do you understand? Just what will you give me for your titties and beer? I suppose you notice this little contract here.
You're goddamn right, you son of a whore.
Don't call me that.
That's about the only reason I learned writing for. Give me that paper, bet your ass I will sign. Because I need a beer and it's titty squeezing time.
Man, you can't fool me. You ain't that bad. I mean, you should have seen some of the souls that I've had. Why,
oh,
there
yeah?
was Milhouse Nixon and Agnew too. And both of those suckers was worse than you.
Well, let's make a deal if you think that's true. I mean, you're the devil, so what you gonna do?
Wait a minute. A tinge of doubt crosses my mind when you say that you want to make a deal with me.
That's very, very true.
Wait, you ain't supposed to want to make a deal with me.
Ah, but I'm slightly different than your average customer,
wait,
devil.
But most people don't want to make a deal with me.
Yeah, well, most people are afraid of you. See, they don't know how stupid you are. I happen to know that you jack off to a picture of Puffy Meadows when you get home.
Stupid.
You know, ever since that guy told you that he contained more fluid than Jeff Beck, you've been trying to outdo him. All right, look, I'm going to say one thing to you. This may not register right away, but let me say this. Leave your pickle alone for a couple of nights, you know what I mean? Now, come on. I'm only interested in a couple of things. Wait, is that a note for me? Is somebody passing me a note? What does this say? Frank, please do me a favor. I can't find a brother of mine. I could dig it if you could call him from stage. His name is Dirty Tom Nomads MC. Signed, thanks. Bear or Bean? I can't tell. Well, if he's out there, Dirty Tony D-Law Nomads MC, get in touch with Bean or Bear. And as I was saying, devil, I'm an average sort of a person. You wouldn't believe it, but I'm very much like the people here in this audience tonight.
What?
I think we definitely have something in common.
Wait a minute, I thought you had funny things growing in your hair and all that other shit. I thought, right, weird music, you know, I thought,
listen,
biker and everything, I mean, shit, you
listen
know, big
carefully.
Titty chick that you just had out here with
listen
the camera.
Listen carefully to me, you know. Old devil.
Uh-huh.
I'm only interested in two things.
Yeah.
See if you can guess what they are.
I would think, let's see, maybe...
Well, I'll give you
and,
two clues.
Let's see.
Let go of your pickle.
What?
Let go of your pickle.
I'm not holding my pickle.
Well, who's holding your pickle then?
I don't know. She's out in the audience. Hey, Dale, would you like to come up here and hold my pickle to satisfy this weird man out here on the stage?
You're probably wondering why we call it a pickle.
Oh,
I hate to squeal on you, Bozio. I mean, devil. But look, I'm only interested in two things.
Oh, wait a minute. All I have to say is, God help me, even though I have this fucking mask on.
Listen, if you think that mask looks bad, you ought to see his pickle. I'm only interested in two things, and that's titties and beer, you know what I mean?
What? Titties
yeah.
and beer?
Titties and beer, titties and beer,
right.
Titties and beer, titties and beer, titties and beer, titties and beer,
titties and beer,
titties and beer, titties and beer, titties and beer, titties and beer.
No, don't sign it! Give me time to think! I mean, hold on a second, boy, because... That's magic,
kid! And then the devil let go of the pickle, and out come my girl. They look the titties plop, popping all around the world. She said,
I got me three beers and a fistful of downs, and I'm gonna get ripped, so fuck you clowns.
Then she gave us the finger, it was rigid and stiff. That's when the devil, he farted, and she went right over the cliff.
Whoa, tinsel time.
Well, the devil was mad. I took off to my pad. I swear I do declare. How did you get back there? I swear I do declare. How did you get back there? I swear I do declare. How did you get back there? I swear
swear I do declare. How did you get back there? Where I do declare. How did you get back there?
All right. I mean, that's enough of the devil and his famous pickle. We're going to make another dramatic, if somewhat rickety segue into another song called Cruising for Burgers. Wait a minute.
Viens faire un tour avec moi. Speaking of Satan, I was watching Rush Limbaugh the other day. Didn't Rush Limbaugh remind you of one of those gay guys who likes to lay in a tub while other men pee on him? Am I the only one? Can't you see his fat body in a tub while Reagan, Quayle, and Bush just stand around pissing on him, and he can't, his little piggly wiggly dick can't get hard. I can't get hard. Reagan, pee in my mouth. Well, how's that, Rush? Still can't get hard, so they call in Barbara Bush. She takes her pearls off, puts them up his ass, then squats over him, undoes her girdle. Her wrinkled, flaccid labia unfolds halfway down to her knees like some ballless scrotum. She squeezes out a link into his mouth. Finally, his dick gets half hard. A little clear bubble forms on the end with a maggot inside. The maggot pops the bubble and runs off and joins a pro-life group somewhere. Am I the only one that sees that? Or not? Thank God I'm not alone. Thank God I had the insight to notice Rush Limbaugh is a scat muncher. He munches scat. Jesus, Bill. I'm so proud of that little dark poetry there. I came up with the word scat muncher, and it went from there, and I just immediately thought of Rush.
your so-called life? Are you out there? Are you listening? Is there something we're still missing? Let the blind lead the blind, 'cause it's eye for an eye. We all fall down and we get right back up again.
You heard two songs from Rise Against, Broken English and Blood Red, White and Blue. Before that, Bill Hicks did Rush Limbaugh from his classic comedy release, Rant in E Minor. Janitor Joe did Early Retirement. The Bollocks did Harley David Son of a Bitch. Monty Python did Sit on My Face. Frank Zappa did Titties and Beer. Michael Hurley did the National Weed Growers Association and started off with Devo doing Jerkin' Back and Forth. This is Reverend Bookburn. The show is called The Reverend Is In. Tonight is the Memorial Day show. Next week, the Dead Reagan show, 1 year anniversary, to counter and comfort amidst the corporate media's inevitable shit. Tonight for Memorial Day, I thought I'd share some things with you. As usual, I overplanned and have about 50 hours worth of shit between the songs and the content. So, let's see. I'm not even going to read this one thing. Speaking of memorials, porn star Mary Carey, who ran for governor of California, is, with her manager, going to dine with the Republican Party, including Bush. That ought to be interesting. And if you want to read that, it's Mary Carey comes to Washington, porn star, to dine with Bush at counterpunch.org. I'm not going to read that. You can just get it yourself if you want. It's at counterpunch.org, as well as Dr. Susan Block's Masturbation 101, Come As You Are. Okay, since we are celebrating memories for Memorial Day, the true spirit of this holiday, let's see. Let's read a little bit. The breasts are composed of fat, but they are actually much more complex than that. By Dr. Seuss. The breasts are made up of a complicated network of milk-producing sacs, passageways for carrying milk, supporting tissue, lymph nodes, glands, tiny muscles, and fat. Throughout puberty and menopause, not only does the appearance of the breasts change, but also the composition and workings of the breast tissue. Okay. The rest says much of nothing. Breasts are made up mainly of fat and breast tissue, along with nerves, veins, arteries, and the connective tissue that helps hold everything in place. The main chest muscle, the pectoralis muscle, is positioned behind the breast and in front of the ribs. In the chest wall, breast tissue is a complex network of lobules and mammary ducts in a pattern resembling bunches of grapes on their stems. The lobules are spherical-shaped sacs that produce milk, and the ducts, or the canals, that carry milk from the lobules to the nipple openings when a woman is breastfeeding. The tiniest ducts attach to the lobules, join together like a branch, like the branches of grape stems in increasingly larger ducts. There are between 5 and 10 ductal systems in each breast, each with its own opening at the nipple. Each breast has up to about 1 million lobules. Well, that's certainly true about the almost live guest tonight. Muscle tissue in the nipple allows it to become erect in response to sexual stimulation or breastfeeding. There is also muscle tissue around the lobules that helps squeeze milk into the ducts. On the areola, the shaded circle of skin surrounding the nipple, are glands that secrete small amounts of fluid to lubricate the nipple when breastfeeding. Figure 1 shows the different parts of the breast. Throughout childhood, girls have just a small patch of immature breast tissue, which remains dormant until puberty. During puberty, breast growth is stimulated by hormones produced by the ovaries and pituitary gland, a part of the brain that regulates growth in other glands in the body, causing the ducts to stretch out and become more branched. Eventually, the breast tissue develops to form the mature system of lobules and ducts. Though the breast is mature after puberty, the breast tissue remains essentially inactive until pregnancy. During pregnancy, the lobules multiply and begin to produce milk, which is released into the ducts for breastfeeding when a baby is born. After menopause, when the ovaries stop producing hormones and a woman stops having menstrual cycles, the number of lobules decreases and those remaining shrink in size. With the loss of breast tissue during menopause, breast density also decreases. In postmenopausal women, a larger proportion of the breast is made up of fat compared to the breasts of younger women. This natural physiological change may make mammography more effective in postmenopausal women, an important point discussed in more detail in the early detection and screening of breast cancer. All right. There is no sure way for a woman to avoid breast cancer. Some healthy lifestyle choices, however, may help lower the risk of the disease and have the added bonus of cutting the risk of heart disease, diabetes, colon cancer, and osteoporosis. All women should try to be physically active, maintain a healthy weight, cut down on bad fats, saturated and trans fats, and consume more good fats, polyunsaturated and monounsaturated fats, like olive and canola oil. Take a daily multivitamin. Limit alcohol intake to less than one alcoholic drink a day. Choose to breastfeed children instead of formula feeding them, if possible. All right. That is from an informative breast cancer related website by Susan Komen, and that is at Komen, K-O-M-E-N dot org. All right, thank you, Susan Cronin. And it is important to say, whenever discussing breast cancer, that even though this is the era of the propagandistic bullshit Bush regime and the American Christian Taliban and the Al-Qaeda clones in the anti-abortion movement, the difference between reality and delusional propagandistic bullshit is that there is zero science. While we still haven't fully shit-canned science or education or research yet, there is zero science to support their absurd notion that there is a link between abortion and breast cancer. Total, total fucking bullshit. Total fucking bullshit. Set anybody straight on that if they repeat such bullshit from a Mullah Omar clone or a Pope clone or a evangelical asswipe clone. Total or community leaders like the asswipes in pretty much every community in Philadelphia of any demographic. Total fucking bullshit. There is zero links between abortion and breast cancer. Information, real information on breast cancer at komen.org. Real information about birth control, abortion, emergency contraception, or the morning after pill, or the abortion pill, RU486, at abortionaccess.org. And set people straight if they heard bullshit from the American Christian Taliban. Alright, what else is from the endless mountain of paper that is entirely too much to read? Oh, the Amnesty International report. This is worth it. U.S. leads global attack on human rights, from Amnesty International. 4 years after the September 11th attacks on New York and Washington, human rights are in retreat worldwide, and the United States bears most responsibility. From Afghanistan to Zimbabwe, the picture is bleak. Governments are increasingly rolling back the rule of law, taking their cue from the U.S.-led war on terror. The USA, as the unrivaled political, military, and economic hyperpower, sets the tone for governmental behaviors worldwide. When the most powerful country in the world thumbs its nose at the rule of law and human rights, it grants a license to others to commit abuse with impunity. Amnesty International cited the pictures last year of abuse of detainees at Iraq's U.S.-run Abu Ghraib prison, which it said were never adequately investigated, and the detention without trial of so-called enemy combatants at the U.S. naval base in Cuba. Quote, "The detention facility at Guantanamo Bay has become the gulag of our times, entrenching the practice of arbitrary and indefinite detention in violation of international law." Also noted, Washington's attempts to circumvent its own ban on the use of torture. Quote, "The U.S. government has gone to great lengths to restrict the application of the Geneva Convention and to redefine torture, citing the secret detention of suspects and the practice of handing some over to countries where torture was not outlawed." U.S. President George W. Numbnuts Bush often said his country was founded on and dedicated to the cause of human dignity, but there was a gulf between rhetoric and reality, Amnesty International found. Quote, "During his first term in office, the USA proved to be far from the global human rights champion it proclaimed itself to be," the report said, citing Abu Ghraib and Guantanamo Bay. Blurred distinction. But the United States was by no means the sole or even the worst offender, as murder, mayhem, and abuse of women and children spread to the four corners of the globe, Amnesty report said. Quote, the human rights abuses in Iraq and Afghanistan were far from being the only negative repercussions of the response to the terrible events of September 11, 2001. Since that day, the framework of international human rights standards has been attacked and undermined by both governments and armed groups, Amnesty said. The increasingly blurred distinction between the war on terror and the war on drugs prompted governments across Latin America to use troops to tackle crimes traditionally handled by police, the report said. In Asia, too, the war on terror was blamed for increasing state repression, adding to the woes of societies already worn down by poverty, discrimination against minorities, a string of low-intensity conflicts, and politicization of aid, it added. Africa, too, remained riven by regional wars and political repression, and the abject failure of the international community to take concerted action to end the slaughter in Sudan's vast Darfur region was a cause of shame. Khan also condemned the United Nations Commission on Human Rights for failing to stand up for those supposedly in its care. Quote, the UN Commission of Human Rights has become a forum for horse trading on human rights. Last year, the commission dropped Iraq from scrutiny, could not agree on action on Chechnya, Nepal, or Zimbabwe, and was silent on Guantanamo Bay. All right, there you have it from Amnesty International. All right, skipping this article. If you want it, email me and I'll write it to you. The judge, quote, parents can't teach pagan beliefs. If you want that, write quail at jcdc.org and I'll forward it to you. And let's see. Former recipient of Asshole of the Week, Rudy Giuliani, that'll come later. Way too much shit to read. And again, Heart of the Beholder is at beholder.com. And is extremely recommended. And we'll have the guests, some of the producers on the show when they tour the country with it. Alright, don't feel like reading anymore. In addition to the conference in June on marijuana and psychedelics in Vancouver, there was also a gathering at the Museum of Psychoactive Substances at British Columbia's Marijuana Party headquarters in about a week, featuring Daniel Pinchback, the author of Breaking Open the Head, an incredible book about Ibogaine. And Ibogaine, by the way, is a natural substance that's similar to mushrooms, and it actually cures chemical addictions. They use it in Amsterdam and a lot of non-fascist countries, and banned here, predictably. Author Daniel Pinchback, author of Breaking Open the Head, and he's online at breakingopenthehead.com. And more information on the Vancouver happenings at reneboget.com, the medical marijuana exile in Vancouver. All right, way sick of reading. And what is on this paper? More shit. This is an event coming up in Philadelphia, listeners. On June 12th, there is a special gig at the A Space, and they're online at defenestrator.org/A Space. June 12th, after September 11th, Who's Security? Featuring Joanna Brenner and Nancy Holmstrom. And, alright, if we have time, we'll talk about that nutcase in Congress, Rick Santorum. The Biodevelopment Conference at biodev.org or reclaimthecommons.net. And way way sick of talking, and still got a lot of tunes, so I want to stop talking and get on to them, because we still have to do Asshole of the Week and a couple other things before ending this Memorial Day show. First, let's play a track by the Capitol Steps from their 2003 release called Between Iraq and a Hard Place. This is a very beautiful song entitled God Bless My SUV.
Well, I've heard that other countries are down on the U.S., a land of mass consumption, our lives filled with excess. But my daddy wasn't fighting on Normandy that day for the right to drive a Hyundai. I refuse to live that way. And I'm proud to be an American who gets just 5 mpg. Though I live alone, the car I own can seat 103, and I'll gladly park so close to you when you pull out you can't see. No, I'll never trade my Escalade. God bless my SUV. May have congestion, but hey, I'll get there alive. So don't pester me with questions like, what would Gandhi drive? And you won't catch me in Starbucks if I need a drink or a snack. When I bought this ship, she came equipped with a Starbucks in the back. And I'm proud to be an American with a car that fits my rear. The cash I put down could have fed a town in Somalia for a year. I'd gladly go and fight Saddam. He'd lose a war with me. You'll be stuck in mud when he sends his scud, but not my SUV.
Bring where I blame my train ride. Okay. The struggle continues here, and the one that's why we're here. Okay, there's many fronts. We talk about the, you know, we marched regarding, or people marched regarding the to stop the war in Iraq. That's one front. Sometimes the front is in Iraq, sometimes the front is in Venezuela, sometimes the front is in Boulder, sometimes the front is in Tanzania, because see, it's one war. It's about those with the money and the guns and those without. See, and it's a war with many fronts. So what I am, in a way, is a war correspondent from the money wars. And if you want that news, and to keep up on what's happening with Tundu, because the way we keep him alive is get the word out. In fact, I have some of this in my book, but I've taken this part of my book. It's up on my website, so you can have it for free and send it out everywhere you can. Okay? Everywhere you can. Because that can save a life. That's one of our jobs. Go to my website, which is www.gregpalast.com. Sign up. Get active. Stay aware of what's going on as I'm writing these reports. Because these are continuing stories, every one of these things, you know. Let you know what Barbie's up to. So it's a job we have to do. Oh yeah, Barbie. Harboring and training Al-Qaeda. I ran a report on BBC television program Newsnight, where my investigative reports appear. And it's interesting, by the way, we had a guy on our program who said, an American journalist, a guy I like a lot, who said, you know, I know we should be asking tough questions. We're sending our kids into Asia and the Gulf. But I'm not going to ask the tough questions because I'll be lynched as unpatriotic. That was Dan Rather. Right? By the way, Amy Goodman mentioned that to Charlie Rose on the air. And he said, you're making that up. Right? And he said, no, it was on Greg Palast's program. That doesn't help me. and he still said, now you're really making it up. And he was bombarded with like 200 copies of the transcript within minutes. Because we keep our transcripts up as well. So we do ask questions. One of the questions we asked, and I was very interested, because I had an office in the World Trade Center, by the way. And I was interested in how this could have happened. How we could have missed, right? Who is behind Al-Qaeda? And sure enough, we put on the air a lawyer from the State Department who said he was in the visa section of our embassy in Jeddah, Saudi Arabia, and he said a bunch of guys had come to him asking for visas. They claimed to be, they said they were engineers, they were going to engineering conferences in the U.S. He said, fine. Where'd you go to engineering school? They looked at each other and they said, we don't remember. Visas denied. Then he was pulled aside and told, no. You mark those visas approved. See, because those guys work for our friend, Mr. Osama bin Laden, see. And they're going to the U.S. for counterterrorism training to go fight the Soviets in Afghanistan. See, the problem, though, with terrorists is that they're like homing pigeons, and they come home to roost, see. See, so Osama bin Laden, like Saddam, was created in the Bush family Frankenstein factory, see. And then they come, then they rise up off the table and turn, right? I was interested that we ran that report too. I put in the Guardian. I got some award from Project Censored from the California State University Journalism School, which is like, that's a great one. That's like getting that's like having a worst seller or something. You know, it's reports that can't be shown in the United States. We put this stuff on the front pages of every paper on the planet, on the Guardian, on the top of the nightly news, everywhere but in the United States, where it bounces off this electronic Berlin Wall, except the Pacifica affiliates, Democracy and Now, KGNU. That's right. What you're doing tonight is very important because you're supporting this weapon of mass instruction. Right? That's my thing. I got my big corporate publisher to donate all the all my costs and my time is donated, and we got books, we got tapes, we got all kinds of stuff. It's to support, you know, support this precious thing. You know, you won't miss your water till your one's dry. You know, I can't emphasize this more, how precious this is, what we're doing right now, okay, while we can, before Patriot Act 4, right? And, total information awareness. They know who you are, and they certainly know what radio station you're listening to, right? So what else? We also noted in that where did Saddam Hussein get his nuclear reactors, or get his little radioactive erector set that he had in the rumpus room of that palace next to the Britney Spears posters, right? He actually did have those. I talked to the UN nuclear inspector when I was in New Mexico. And, you know, of course, you know, we haven't found them because the inspectors did their job and they found them and got the stuff. However, how did he get it in the first place? $7 billion from Saudi Arabia, which we reported went to Saddam Hussein for his so-called Islamic bomb. He went renegade in 90. He didn't finish it because he went renegade in 90, right? And they moved it to Pakistan, the money. We had intelligence agents who said that they were not allowed to investigate the movement of money from Saudi Arabia to Pakistan to build the bomb. Now, going back to Saddam, how could that have happened? How could our allies have given this money to a butcher like Saddam? Well, remember when Condi Rice said, how could anyone allow a butcher like Saddam to stay in Baghdad for 12 years? Well, the answer is Condi, he was there for 24 years. See, what she's really saying is for the first 12 years, it was okay. See, he was our butcher where we got our chops. See, this is before the Axis of Evil, when he was fighting the Iranians, right? Which is kind of the unicycle of evil at the time. It's under the Bush-Reagan administration. And then it went to Pakistan. Now, we don't need to send... Now, CIA guys weren't allowed to look at where that money was, how that money was moving, right? But it went to Pakistan. And once again, now, Colin Powell says we can't let some dictator maniac with weapons of mass destruction to stay in office. I thought, well, okay, so we're invading Pakistan. No, we went to Iraq. But nevertheless, we've got this maniac who... Musharraf, the dictator of Pakistan, who has... who installed the Taliban into the government of Afghanistan. We don't have to send in inspectors to see if he's got a nuclear weapon. He's exploded the thing on television, right? But now you think our president would be concerned about this. In fact, he did go to meet with Musharraf. Instead of saying, you're busted, buddy, he has his arm around him like they're going to the prom together, right? The same Frankenstein factory, right? And so, mark my words, write this down. 12 years from now, just like we did with Saddam, 12 years from now, President Jeb Bush is going to stay. We have to go into, that's right, we have to go into Pakistan to get the killer of Karachi. Right? And so we talked to CIA agents and FBI agents. And not, by the way, not one of them said we could have gotten Al-Qaeda. We could have prevented the attacks if only we had a new bureaucracy of fatherland security. If only we had eliminated the Bill of Rights. What they all said was the same thing over and over. FBI agents, CIA agents, DIA agents speaking to BBC. If only the Bush family had gotten their foot off our necks. You see? And I said, well, what do you mean? And what they meant was this. See, this is a document. Joel talked about how I like documents. This document says at the top, secret. Okay, and it says in the upper right corner, it says 199I, which means national security. It's a WF, Washington Office of the FBI, secret national security document of the FBI Washington Office. By the way, anyone here from the FBI, I can come up after the program, give you your document. by the way, you want... Some people say, how do you get these documents? I'm always being asked, you know, I'm always saying, you know, little birdies and black helicopters. But this one was interesting. I'll tell you how I got this one. FBI agents came to our offices, the researchers working with, at National Security News Service. and they asked some questions, God knows what. And when they left a file on the desk. And they called up. And they said, "We left a file on your desk. You haven't looked at it, have you?" Nope. They said, "Well, we'll be back to get it in 30 minutes, unless you need 45. See, you might think that they want us to see something, but what? It was a pretty pedestrian document for the FBI. It's just reopening an investigation that was mysteriously closed. Reopening an investigation on September 13th, 2001 of a suspected terrorist organization, meaning like, you know, Pacific Radio, Amy Goodman. But no, this was not that type. This is not like, you know, anti-globalization pie throwers. This was guys who, as it turns out later, one of their people was the conduit for Osama bin Laden's, you know, hello tapes to America, right? These are the guys that actually we do pay them to hunt down, right? To talk to. But they weren't allowed to talk to these guys. Who was it they weren't allowed to talk to? I turned to page 2 and, ooh, the name is bin Laden. Not Osama. See, Osama's the black sheep of the bin Laden family. We know that because the rest of them are all white sheep. According to the Bush family, they're white sheep because they have backed the Bush family enterprises, like Carlyle, like their financier of the bin Laden family, before the bin Laden family put up the money for one of George Bush's failed oil companies, right? So they couldn't, what the agent said, they weren't allowed to talk to these guys until September 13th. That's what this document showed. And by that time, these birds had flown. Okay? And this is a story we got all over and over again. And it's a story, according to the agents, they felt that it was because it was not exactly a career maker to say, well, what we need to do to hunt terrorists is talk to the business partners of our president's daddy. See, it's not a career maker. And what they said, they didn't say, by the way, that there was any evidence, none, and I haven't found any, that George Bush knew anything about September 11th in advance, you know, and didn't tell us or something. You know. In fact, our rule at BBC is that if anyone ever accuses George Bush of knowing anything at all, you better have documentation. Mr. 25 out of 100, right? But it's all about the oil contamination of our foreign policy. It's all about the money contamination of our democracy. And that's what these investigations are digging up. But it still doesn't answer the question. It still doesn't answer the questions. Who's winning? Who's winning this war on terror? Well, according to Forbes magazine, the winner of the war on terror, this is a quote from Forbes, is a company called ChoicePoint. Ooh. Yeah, see, some of you may know. See, ChoicePoint, it kind of rings a bell. See, now, the very day, now, ChoicePoint on, let's see, the FBI was given a one, let me start this again. Let me think how, to give you an idea of how important this is. About 4 or 5 weeks ago, the Bush administration did announce that we had no money left to pay for the medical care of pregnant women on Medicaid. That same day, they announced $1 billion extra for the FBI's DNA program. And the number one contractor, no bid, supplier of the DNA information on you is a company called ChoicePoint. So who is more important than pregnant women? And they have other contracts, profiling in airports, immigration intakes. They've got a database of 16 billion records on Americans, and they are now building an international database for the FBI. for data mining. So who are these guys who are winning the war on terror? And for that, you have to go back to the election of 2000. Now, I know what you're thinking. Move on, Greg. Get over it. But you have to know, you see, if you want to know what your future is, you have to know who these guys are. So going back to that election night of 2000, or the night after, actually, I was home, winding down, watching, I wasn't on my show, Michael Moore was on, and great guy. And but we're getting reports from our BBC crews in Florida. You see one black face after another saying, I tried to vote, I couldn't vote. My name wasn't on the voter rolls. Again and again. Conspiracy nut that I am. Now, for those of you who saw Politically Incorrect, you know that I've been called a left-wing conspiracy nut, which, you know, gets a big laugh from the conspirators, right? And so I'm watching all these black people come from the TV camera. By the way, that BBC, we're allowed to show black people who aren't criminals. And it's true. It's true. And so I'm thinking that there's like a computer program that's reaching in and erasing black names, names of black voters off the voter rolls. You know? And so I thought I'd show you the program, which I got from Catherine Harris's office. There it is. See? This is it. This is what elected your president. And what this is, I had to crack this. I got volunteers, some lefty geeks, thanks, who took these two CD-ROMs I got out of Kate's office and threw it into an Excel spreadsheet. And lo and behold, there's 57,700 names of people that she ordered removed from the voter rolls 5 months before the election.
Do you like boobs a lot?
Yes, I like boobs a lot.
Why do you like boobs a lot?
You gotta like boobs a lot.
Do you like boobs a lot?
Yes, I like boobs a lot.
Why do you like boobs a lot?
You gotta like boobs a lot.
Down in the locker room, just we boys, beating down the locker room with all that noise, singing. Do you like boobs a lot?
Yes, I like boobs a lot.
Why do you like boobs a lot?
You gotta like boobs a lot.
Do you wear your jock a lot?
Yes, I wear my jock a lot.
Why do you wear your jock a lot?
You gotta wear your jock a lot.
Why do you wear your jock a lot?
You gotta wear your jock a lot.
Do you like your jock a lot?
Yes, I like my jock a lot.
Out on the football field, you never can tell whether he'll can wheel. Do you wear your jock a lot?
Yes, I wear my jock a lot.
Do you wear your jock a lot?
Yes, I wear my jock a lot.
If I had a flag along,
if I had a flag along,
if I had a long flag along, if I had a long flag along, if you like moves a lot, just hang along. Do you like moves a lot?
Yes, I like moves a lot.
Why do you like moves a lot?
You gotta like moves a lot.
Who is this moves a lot?
Yes, I like boobs a lot.
Why do you like boobs a lot?
You gotta like boobs a lot.
Do you like boobs a lot?
Yes, I like boobs a lot.
Why do you like boobs a lot?
You gotta like boobs a lot.
Down in the locker room, just we boys, beating down the locker room with all that noise. Do you like boobs a lot?
Yes, I like boobs a lot.
Why do you like boobs a lot?
You gotta like boobs a lot.
If I had a flag along,
if I had a flag along,
if I had a long flag along, if I had a long flag along,
if you like boobs a lot, hang on.
Do you like boobs a lot?
Yes, I like boobs a lot.
Do you like boobs a lot?
Yes, I like boobs a lot.
Who is this boobs a lot?
Of course I like boobs a lot.
Come on, get over here with your boobs.
What else would I like if I didn't like boobs a lot?
See that chicken on the boobs? I mean, come on. Hey, look at that girl.
Picture with a towel.
I like something. I should like boobs.
Come on.
Boobs a lot.
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 Who's that guy in the corner?
Boobs a lot.
Bow!
I'm not a when I know that I'm alone. Feeling kind of horny, got a tingle in my bone. Go and grab a penthouse, it's the one with Sharon Stone. Hey, masturbator, go a little faster and it's feeling kind of nice. Once ain't enough, so I have to do it twice. You wanna spank the monkey, I can give you good advice. Hey, masturbator. Laying down a towel so I keep my carpet clean. Never shake my hand cause you don't know where it's been. Hey, masturbator, I do it in my car while I'm driving down the street. One hand on the wheel and the other on my knee. I can't get out the car cause I'm sticking to the seat. Hey, masturbator. As a kid, I have been a masturbator. Choke the chicken, hold the knob, squeezing the tomato. I flipped him in November, now I'm gonna take a raider. Hey, masturbator! Buffing the banana, little lizard shaking, thinking. Pounding on the pounder, and it's mayonnaise I'm making. Spank the prank, wax the carrot, got my hand is aching. Hey, masturbator!
My name is Dr. Laura Hoare, and I'm here to tell you that I'm a very moral, ethical, opinionated, conservative Republican woman of the highest morals and integrity. I stand for America and patriotism, and I lie down and spread for the same damn reasons. I do not suffer gladly any liberal bullshit. Why, I hate liberal Democrats. I loathe everything about them. In fact, strange as it is, I hate them so much that at times I find them irresistibly sexy. Sometimes watching them on TV, whining and pandering to all the special interest groups like the poor, the minorities, the gays, the idiots in the middle class makes me so mad that I become turned on. And the sweet juices of my rage flows like a river from my loins. I'm here to tell all you chaste and pure thinking conservative men and women to throw yourselves naked on the altar of George W. Bush and thank the Lord that he put this intellectual genius in office after the long suffering years under Bill Clinton's penis. Oh, this is Dr. Laura Hoare saying good day.
Oh, shit, man! Put out a warning when you do one of those, man!
Yes, it's that very special time once again. It's time for Asshole of the Week. And we have two runner-ups. The first runner-up to Asshole of the Week is Andrew Cassell, a writer for a local tabloid that passes off as a media outlet that is legitimate, entitled The Philadelphia Inquirer. A hoe for local business, large business interests, Andrew Cassell of The Philadelphia Inquirer somewhere below the National Enquirer, did a recent hatchet job on Philadelphia legend and wonderful person Judy Wicks, who runs the White Dog Cafe and benefits countless causes, including medical hemp and AIDS causes. Judy Wicks of the White Dog Cafe is also a part of a campaign called Buy Local First because of the encroachment of big corporate chains, and is the chairperson and founder of SBN, Sustainable Business Network, recently crucified by runner-up to Asshole of the Week, Andrew Cassell of the Philadelphia Inquirer. And that brings us to the second runner-up to Asshole of the Week. The second runner-up to Asshole of the Week is MTV. Yes, those hopeless, unchangeable, irredeemable assholes have committed yet another act of censorship, this being the intended live performance at their movie awards by Nine Inch Nails, who were going to do their new song, The Hand That Feeds, with an untouched picture of the President, George W. Numbnuts Bush. Oops, where's the fart sounds? We have to have the fart sounds. First Cheech from Cheech and Chong. Thank you.
Oh, shit, man! Put out a warning when you do one of those, man!
Thank you. The Reverend appreciates that. Gotta have the fart sounds. Okay, second runner-up to Asshole of the Week is MTV, whose movie award show was supposed to have Nine Inch Nails doing The Hand That Feeds, a new song, but was censored because they wanted to use as a backdrop an unaltered picture of the resident and thief, George W. Numbnuts Moron Cokehead Enron Ho Bush. For information on that, check out buzzflash.com. It's the lead story right now at buzzflash.com. And there's a statement under the category of current at the Nine Inch Nails site, which is nin.com. Click on current and see their responses. MTV, second runner-up to Asshole of the Week. And that leads us to that very special someone. Tonight, Sunday, May 29th, 2005, at RadioVolta.org, AtheistNetwork.com, and two independent radio stations in the state of Washington, one in Olympia and one in Seattle, Asshole of the Week is Ronald Liebowitz. Ronald Liebowitz is the chair of the commencement committee and the president of the university at, or of the college, at Middlebury College in Vermont, who decided to pay six figures of a speaking fee to get former recipient of Asshole of the Week, Rudy Giuliani, to speak there. Hopefully, if this has not happened yet, students, the Reverend wants to remind you that you have a duty to heckle. Bring noisemakers, loud blowhorns, kazoos, anything. There's big trumpet-looking things from the Roman Empire, just like you would during the commencement prayer or anything else stupid and inappropriate. So, Ronald Liebowitz and the commencement committee at Middlebury College, you are Asshole of the Week. All right, we really have heard enough of those sounds. You heard Ms. Terry from RadioLeft.com doing Dr. Lara Hoare. Artist Unknown did Masturbator. Toxic Reasons did Mercenary and War Hero. Toxic Narcotic did Parasite. The Fugs did Boobs A Lot. And we heard four tracks from the great spoken word release by Greg Palast, P-A-L-A-S-T, from gregpalast.com. From his CD, Weapon of Mass Instruction, live, you heard Ground Zero as a Profit Center, Fatherland Security and FBI 199-I, The Unicycle of Evil, The Bush Family Frankenstein Factory, and You've Been Drafted. The Meat Men did Some Like It Cold, and started off with the Capitol Steps doing God Bless My SUV. This is Reverend Bookburn. The show is called The Reverend Is In. Tonight has been the Memorial Day show, which has been a blast. And next week is the Dead Reagan show. It'll be the anniversary on the day, the one-year anniversary of one of the biggest butchers in modern human history in the lifetime of practically every living person today. And since the corporate media is an almost guaranteed saturation of pure fucking shit next week and next Sunday night, actually, to lie to cover up his criminal history and his bloody history and his theocratic and fascistic history and his inhuman history and his massive escalation of the homeless problem and a zillion other problems history, we will counter the media bullshit and we will be informative but also have a lot of fun, a lot of humor, and a lot of great tunes in the process. Next week, the Dead Reagan Show and future Reverend shows include Reverend Bookburn Cracks the Da Pinch Me Code, Henry Hyde's Retirement Party, More Perverted Stories from Moral Crusaders, Rehab for Pedophile Priests, Send Michael Jackson to the Vatican, Halliburton Gives Condi an Oilgasm, and the Reverend performs the wedding of Tom DeLay and Terry Schiavo's corpse. All of that is to come on The Reverend Is In. I believe every plug was made. Let's see, we didn't talk about Rick Santorum, but all we can say is Lord, with the Santorum filibuster Hitler speech, we can only ask one thing. Please get him his psychotropic meds that he needs, and we'll talk about that more next week. Let's see, we'll talk about stem cells research. We'll talk about George W. Numbnuts Bush's latest judicial appointments. And just when you thought he couldn't suck the asshole of the Taliban more than already. And let's see, what else is on all these illegible piles of shit to read? That's enough. All right, we'll play one more tune. Write to Reverend Bookburn at Quayle, Q-U-A-Y-L-E, Quayle at sjcdc.org. Keep in touch about the Reverend Bookburn Archives Project and blog site that is forthcoming, a belated birthday present. And let's see, send your input on future shows and song requests. And yeah, I'm just going to hold off on a lot of the shit until next week. And let's see, I know I'm forgetting stuff. Oh well, happy Memorial Day, and I will see you in 1 week. We'll play one last track by DOA from Sudden Death Records, suddendeath.com. This is their most recent release, Live Free or Die. This is DOA's version of a Dylan song called Master of War. Masters of War. Good night.
Come, you masters of war, that build all the guns, that build the death planes, that build the big bombs, that hide behind walls, that hide behind desks, I just want you to know I can see through your mask. I just want you to know I can see through your mask. You play with my wire, oh, like it's your little toy. You put a gun in my hand, and you hide from my eyes. Then you turn and run farther when the gospel is blind. Then you turn and run farther when the gospel is blind. Like Jesus of old, I am deceived. A world war can be won. Want me to believe? But I see through your eyes, like I see through your brain, like I see through the water that runs down my drain, like I see through the water that runs down my drain. The triggers for the others to fire. Then you sit back and watch as the distance gets higher. You hide in your mansion as the young people's blood flows out of their bodies and is buried in the mud. Flows out of their bodies and is buried in the mud. The worst fear that can never be hallowed. Fear that brings children into this world. For threatening my baby, unborn in my name. You ain't with the blood that runs in your veins. You ain't with the blood that runs in your veins. How much do I know to talk out of turn? You must say that I'm young, must say I'm alert. But there's one thing I know, no one younger than you. Even Jesus would never forget what you do. Even Jesus would never forget what you do. Let me ask you a question. Is your money that good? Will it buy you forgiveness? Do you think that it could? I think you will find when your death takes its toll, all the money you made will never bother your soul. All the money you made will never bother your soul. And I hope that you die and your death will come too. I'll follow your casket on a pale afternoon. And I'll watch while you lower down to your deathbed. And I'll stand on your grave till I'm sure that you're dead. And I'll stand on your grave till I'm sure that you're dead. And I'll stand on your grave till I'm sure that you're dead.